I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, Ros D'Souza. Hi, Ros.
Hello, Michael. Good morning.
Some people probably call you Roslyn D'Souza. Do you prefer one or the other?
You know, I actually like Rosie.
Rosie?
Because the nuns at school used to call me Roslyn, which meant that I was in trouble, or Ros, but I like the informality of Rosie, actually. It's my favourite.
I think Ros is lovely, but from now on, here
you'll
in
call
after,
me Rosie.
Everyone on the streets will be calling you Rosie. Rosie, I think the appropriate way to start this conversation is to say, last year, 2025, you were awarded the Fremantle Citizen of the Year gong.
Yes, I was.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
A little belated, but I think I might have said it at the time.
I'm about to rescind it soon.
But tell our listeners why it was that you were awarded this gong.
Well, I think I was observed doing a lot of things that I didn't really think people noticed that much collectively. So I did do a series of Art Walk Frio events. That was one thing. But I think it was the small tasks that made a big difference, such as the street gallery, taking ugly, empty, scarred windows, making sure that they were clean, putting in uniform art partitions and LED lights, using the resource of ArtSource career artists and putting the work in there in collaboration with the City of Fremantle, and then having that on the This is Fremantle website, and then creating an art walk through the Tourist Bureau, and that just was a value add. These things evolve from the basic four that we first put in, and that made such a difference. I like to run my life with leadership by example, and I thought, if I can make a difference to the inner city of Fremantle, which post-COVID was looking pretty sad, and we had empty shops, that's not the city's fault, that happens to be a worldwide situation, and then we had all the dirt from the building of the Civic Centre and the winds of Fremantle, and so the place looked like a war zone. And it was just a chance meeting with the former councillor Jenny Archibald when we crossed paths one day, and I said, it makes me feel ill when I walk into the city of Fremantle right now. Everything is so sad and so grubby and so empty, and I have this idea about having a street gallery where you walk past other shops and vendors to actually see the next exhibition rather than it being a white box.
It has been a great idea. And today you can still do that art walk, can't you?
Through yes, you can.
And shop windows that were otherwise empty, grubby, needed a good clean, they're brought to life in violence.
They have been brought to life, and we don't make a great deal of sales, but we do make sales, and the art, there's no commission taken. So it's win-win-win-win. The owner gets the windows constantly checked. And that's where I do my art walk every day myself, to check there's no tagging or scratching or nasty rubbish left behind. And the public get to enjoy it. ArtSource and the city lift their profile to be a city of the arts. And when the shop is sold or leased, I vacate it in 24 hours and move on to finding another landlord. The landlords I have are fabulous to work with, and I walk around with a bag of keys to those, and that allows me entry anytime. And I'm really thrilled with the fact that they trust me with that. Other landlords are tough nuts to crack, and I do not understand why. I think it's just either laziness, or maybe they feel that there must be something that I'm missing here, that I'm giving something that I prefer not to. And it's a shame, because I look at entries to Fremantle. The biggest one is the old Catalini Pharmacy. Now, I've had access to that pharmacy for a couple of years.
That's a good place to start the art walk, actually.
It's beautiful. Yes, it is. And you drive down crossing Parry Street along Leach Highway into High Street. Yes. And there are three windows there. So each one of those is a gallery. And it's lit 24/7 using LED lights. And it just, at night time when you're at the lights, idling at the lights, it lifts my spirits, so I can only assume that it lifts others. And, you know, my experience of little anecdotes of people when I'm maybe painting out a bit of tagging, that's because I take that responsibility to heart. If it's my responsibility, then I'll make sure the window is cleaned and the tagging's removed. And then just as an aside, All Glass Cleaning came and said, "I love what you do. My boys will clean it," as my community gesture when they're in that area. So, but most unusual people will stand beside me and I'll notice their legs and look up and they'll say, "I love what you do, thank you."
Well, I was going to ask, I'm sure it's the case, that during your walks, particularly earlier in the day or later in the day, you must see a few people who are homeless.
Yes, I do.
Have you got to know them?
Yes, I have. And it's a passion of mine and many others to work silently behind the scenes, developing a relationship, acknowledging the hard work that other providers do. We're not reinventing the wheel, but we see an opportunity for a different approach, and we're hoping to create a pilot for that in the next, before winter, in fact, because one size does not fit all situations. So yes, I do know them by name, and sometimes I did actually get cross the other day and look at one in the eye when there was just a sprawl of living right in front of one of my street galleries and in a prime spot, and I just said, "Come on, you don't have to live like this. Please pick this up. I don't want to see this for you like this again." And it was mutter, 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 but he did.
More generally, Ros, where did this desire to do this and to make a mark and, in a sense, clean up, make more orderly Fremantle come from?
I don't think it's OTC. My boys would say it was it's the obsessive compulsive disorder. I had to put it into alphabetical order. No, it's not that. It's just that I can see that a little tweaking makes a big difference. And so if you look after the minutiae, then the big stuff takes care of itself. So when one looks around Fremantle and you see all the amazing, really good developers that we have here, we've got Silverleaf, Feeney, Prendeville, amazing ideas and beautiful presentation. I mean, how wonderful is that? But then if you've got the city centre that is dirty, the windows are empty, they're scratched and damaged, and you've got our street community living as they are, and then you have this rash of convenience stores, which brings in a low socioeconomic category, then you're not seeing the rest of the beauty. And so in just tidying that up, lifting the windows, which actually calms down anger and resentment. And I think, you know, you and I'd love to tell you the anecdote and the listeners another anecdote shortly, but in relation to the windows and anger. But if we can, we're so close to not wanting to sanitize Fremantle, but to not make that negative side of Fremantle so dominant. Because when you look at, say, from St. Pat's down to the town hall, there's something like 30 service providers. So they open at 9 and close at 4 or 4:30, not open on the weekend. So you have a concentrated mass of services that deal with a particular clientele without any break for the eye to see or bringing people through. So there's a concentrated area of there's a vacuum for anger and antisocial behaviour.
A lot of people who aren't Fremantle people, occasionally journalists like to, their editors send them out to write a story about Fremantle and how grubby it is and who'd want to be there. And always struck me, all true, but no, not everyone seems to get Fremantle. There's something about Fremantle, isn't there?
Yes, there is something about Fremantle, and I've been asked many times what's my take on Fremantle. And of course, we all love the colonial buildings, we love the town beach, we love the way that it's laid out, probably just bitumised carriage tracks from the early days, but it just goes in a circle, and she's like the girl with the curl on the forehead. When she's good, she's very, very good, and when she's bad, she's awful. And so but to me, the essence of Fremantle is the village within the town, within the city. All cities overdevelop and decline and then redevelop and decline, which is a bit sad because it's important to use what we have. And I brought with me a book that I just love. It's called With Art as My Weapon by a Japanese millionaire printer, Mr. Fukutake. And he talks about revitalizing city or rural areas, revitalizing rural communities and introducing public interest capitalism. And one of my sons bought me this after his trip to Japan in 2025. And I couldn't put it down.
Public interest capitalism, that gets you in, doesn't it?
It does get you in. And so this company is now called Benes, but it was the Fukutake Foundation, a major printing, international printing company. And Mr. Fukutake actually lives in New Zealand. So his father had wanted to make a resort for underprivileged children and on an island called, I'll just have to look, Naoshima. And that's one of three islands in the inner sea of Japan. The senior Mr. Fukutake died and his son took up that. So the idea, and he could see all of the damage that post-war industrialization had made with the nickel slag, etc., on these islands. He committed to cleaning them up. And he saw just how the young people were leaving in droves and leaving the old people doing the rural duties. And so he then revitalized these rural communities and entice the young creatives back where they could afford to live. And he's created something absolutely astounding. So what the company did, the family did, was put their own shares in their company into a private foundation. The interest from that is what funds this particular project. And now people go by car and boat to visit these islands, and now it's breaking even after 20 years. And so I looked at this book and I thought, well, I'm just going to, in my mind, look at Fremantle as the rural community, and so that pushed me on to do other things.
Well, I love how you don't just stand back or sit in the courtyard at home and wonder who's going to do something about it, but actually get up and start doing something about it.
Well, I was very touched the other day because we were in a little group choosing the next Citizen of the Year, and one of the councillors gave me the metaphorical bouquet of flowers by saying, what I'm looking for here is another Ros D'Souza who sees a need, gets up and does it, no fuss, and moves on. I nearly burst into tears because it was the sweetest compliment anyone could have given me.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is beautiful. And, you know, may I tell you this anecdote? You've heard it before, but maybe the listeners haven't. It was in the early days and I had struggled to get these three shops in the mall. It had been difficult, but I finally got them, and they're beautiful shops, but they were filthy. So I managed to clean out the windows, etc. And I'm standing there on a freezing morning at 7 in the morning, admiring the artwork, and I was cleaning the outside of the window. And this young man with the aura of alcohol walked past me, and I said, good morning. And he turned around and came back and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm cleaning the windows. And he said, why? I just want to kick it in. I said, well, that'd be a shame. He said, why are you doing it? And I said, to give you something lovely to look at with this art. You can't have dirty windows and beautiful art. He said, but why? And I said, to give you something to look at and lift your spirits. And he looked at me and he said, show me your hand. So I put my hand out, palm up, and he turned it over, kissed the back of it, and walked away. And again, I burst into tears because he got it. And what I found so interesting when I tell older men that story, their eyes well up with tears because they too had been angry young men. And then there was an elderly lady who called out to me and she said, I know you. You're the lady who cleans the windows. And I burst out laughing and said, no, I'm the lady who makes beauty. So she engaged with me and I said to her, you can't have something beautiful and dirty windows. Cleaning is an art form. And she, anyway, about a month later, she saw me again and she quietly came over and she said, I've thought a lot about what you said. I like cleaning. I've been a cleaner for 50 years. And my friends laugh at me because I enjoy it. And she said, I realize now that I'm actually making beauty. I said, you are. Art creates order out of chaos. And so we had a long chat about that and she was thrilled. So in the process of all of this, I'm giving a PowerPoint presentation to some of the students at the studio school. And you just never know with year 10s whether it connects with what you're saying. Anyway, some time later, because the studio school is one of the partners in the Woodson's Arcade outside the Box Gallery, and the studio school was having their opening that night, and this beautiful girl who actually painted my portrait, Ava, came over and she said, I want to thank you, in front of her parents. Thank you, you changed my life.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I said, how did I change your life at 15? She said, I've never, that story about the old lady and how important that was.
It's really lovely. I might just say while we're at it, you're very lucky because Ian D'Souza is a wonderful artist and he makes order out of chaos in his paintings.
Yes, he does.
You've been well tutored, I know.
Yes, he does. He makes beauty.
And so you helped to bring all of that around Fremantle. You've mentioned Woodson's Arcade.
Mm.
I was there when the gallery was opened on your kind invitation. But tell our listeners about what happened and what happened with Woodson's Arcade. It's a funny little arcade.
It's
quite near the studio school, just over from St. John's Anglican Church.
It is, next to, Kathmandu and the studio school. The minute I saw that arcade, I had a bit of an epiphany. I mean, there it was, sort of mission brown, urine-smelling, tagged different shades of white, all down 30 metres of misery. And I always loved it. And at different times, you'd see people attempt to do a little art installation. So, and what I liked was everybody said, you're never going to do anything with this. And I said, I can. Oh, no one's going to give you the permission.
That's a challenge.
No one's going to do such and such. So I went to the corporate body head and she said, we don't have any money, but if you want to do a presentation. So I did a little Rosie's type of Photoshop, which means I snip pictures out and stick it on and then photocopy it and present it as Photoshop. Anyway, I did, and I did a little budget. And I got permission from the owner, who's very wealthy in Sydney, but didn't want a bar of it. Thank you for the glass. And so I then set about to present to some of the schools.
And that's the bit I love. You get schools involved, art done.
Well, what was so exciting about that, because we'd come out of COVID and the costs of materials were going up every 2 months. And so I had designed these polycarbonate smash-proof, tamper-proof boxes to hold art in them. And they were going up every 2 months in price. And I'm thinking, this is getting out of my budget, out of my reach. So it was October, And the school was about to close, senior school. And I contacted the art teachers and I just said, I know your headmaster won't be pleased with this, but I need a commitment now and I need the money now because this is what's happening. And to their credit, they gave me the money. So each of those partners were asked for $1,500 each. I also put my own money in, excuse me, and the rest is history. And so the studio school has the largest, makes the largest effort. We use their Wi-Fi to manage the security cameras and their kids check in and make sure it's not tagged.
And you picked up a couple of other Fremantle-based schools too.
Oh yes, we've got CBC, we have John Curtin College, and then we also have, apart from myself, Dada, which yes. is huge, and the library. But Dada gave me the biggest compliment because with Dada on board, the other schools said yes.
Just tell our listeners briefly what Dada is.
It's the most incredible institution, and it's a not-for-profit. It's the Dada is the Disabled Artists and Disability for Arts in Western Australia, and it's got an international reputation, run by incredible people. So their senior teachers actually exhibit. They're not the students who exhibit, they're the senior teachers.
It's a lovely collection, and it's all very Fremantle, isn't it?
Everything's, it's so yeah. Fremantle. And I was in there a couple of weeks ago because every now and again, when the kids are on holidays, I go in and I have a quick cordless vac, pick up the rubbish and give it a wipe over. And they must have thought I was the cleaner, which I am. And this man said to the other one, gosh, this has changed. I can remember coming through here and it was just a wee-smelling arcade of misery. And I smiled to myself thinking, this is marvellous.
Well, I know our listeners are going to say, just where is this Woodson's Arcade? Do I know it? And they probably don't.
Well, the official address is 13 Cantonment Street. So you come in from Cantonment Street.
Opposite Best Wishes Coffee.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Give them a plug. And the arts, the Biennale Arts Office.
Yes.
And then you come through and you're right opposite St. John's Church. It's a gorgeous little place and it's locked up at night.
It's really a secret arcade. So, I mean, a little bit further down off the mall is Cully's, which is well known.
Yes.
But, there's some interesting things to do. In relation to both those projects, what's the future of them? The Art Walk plus Woodson's.
You mean Art Walk Freer or the Art Walk around the Street Gallery?
Yes, around the Street Gallery.
Well, there will always be a succession plan, and I'm plotting that now. But with the arcade, we started off with a 2+2, and we've had 2 years of tremendous success, and I can see, because all things have a lifespan, but I see that ongoing. But if any of our members don't wish to continue, and I don't see that happening, then they would have had their $1,500 worth of exposure. So another school would be invited in. And so what we do, because it's essentially for school, senior school kids, to show their work, and that has kept tagging down enormously. I mean, after being tagged 4 times a week plus, we might have been tagged 4 times in 2 years. Huge respect, huge difference. But I think, and of course the men urinating on the pillars has reduced considerably. Nothing like having a little sign that says, puppies piddle on pillars, real blokes find a toilet and there's one 50 metres ahead. And that kind of, I think, made them, and you're on, if you can read this fine print, you're on camera. That's helpful. The studios, so we will refocus on doing a bit of a busy bee and sprucing it up again. And then if anyone wants to withdraw, then we will on invite another school. But we do have special moments when there's downtime and we invite other schools.
Well, you've in a sense got the model and keep perfecting it.
Yes.
The street gallery, when it first was given publicity, we did a story on the shipping news. I found it really interesting to walk around and follow the trail. And
it's lovely, isn't it?
Yes. And there's no reason why, I suppose, unless all the shops get filled up.
Are filled up, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. It's a really nice model. I think for it to continue, then there will have to be. I do that pro bono. The city has provided me with the original materials budget, and I give of my time to make sure that it presents well. So in future, if I was to back away, and all things have a finite time, would be to apply for a grant for someone to do that.
Now, over the years, I know you've been involved in the organisation presentation of a variety of arts festivals and Fremantle,
mm-hmm.
which in many ways have provided you with all of the skill to do the things you've just been talking about and giving back to the city. But I also know in recent times, you in particular, many, many people around Fremantle in general, have been annoyed at the growth of what are called colloquially convenience stores.
Con stores.
Con stores, you call
Serious
them.
Con stores.
Yes.
I'm deeply distressed by it because 2 years ago, now it's a serious problem. 2 years ago, we used to have four such stores, and one of them that sold tobacco was Reed's, and it was traditional and it was elegant, and so we would have had sprinkled around the city maximum four. And then as I was on the street every day, I would see one spring up here and there, and then I would see poor behaviour associated with convenience stores in Melbourne and bombings and what have you. Then there were six, then there were eight, and all within a 500 metre radius. Now you don't, with nobody in them, and the worst kind of products like American candy that has more numbers on it than a Fremantle bus terminal, and these power drinks that if you get addicted to those, then they're sold under health drinks because they might have B12 in them or something. They will rot your liver. They will cause liver damage. And I've listened to podcasts about that. But it's the cigarettes and the vapes that are blatantly sold that have been tolerated. And I went to the city. And this is not to dump on the city because the laws needed changing. However, I sought leadership, not management. So when, you know, in our city, someone over east has made the decision that we are a low socioeconomic area in our CBD. That's our city centre. And so suddenly there were 10. So I did this big map and I put different coloured dots on it. And then that's how I realised when walking around we had the 30 providers in an 800 metre line, and that we had 12 massage parlours and 12 tattoo parlours and 12 con stores all within the same circle. And then you start to see cigarette butts everywhere. And as I've developed the onset of asthma in the later part of my life, I'm noticing the cigarette butts that I step over and pick up the packets relating to them, and the vape packets, and people smoking everywhere, and the antisocial behaviour, and these coffee cups going backwards and forwards from the park to the con store. And I didn't think there was that sort of intimacy between the client and the server. And you know, there's this, well, it's the planning laws have to be changed. Well, then, with great respect, change them. And now what we have is 17. All within, now there's a new one in Ray Avenue, which we've discussed, and they do sell a lot of really interesting things if you happen to be out of something. But what I'm distressed about, super distressed, is the nitrous oxide canisters. Once upon a time, you'd see tiny little nitrous oxide canisters in the gutter. I think they're prohibited now, but what I'm seeing is the mother of all nitrous oxide. That's laughing gas. And you breathe that in for a prolonged period of time, then you burn a hole at the back of your nose that protects it's the membrane that protects your brain, and you have irreversible brain damage. When people cynically target the vulnerability of other people to make money, I have no words to describe it.
It's become a big cultural and political regulatory issue here and in other places in Australia, where in some of these places, if not all of them, they're selling more or less under the counter what people refer to as illegal tobacco. And they're also selling vapes. New South Wales has brought in a law which is really
pretty tough. I had a look at
tolerance
the
of it all.
Regulations the other
and
day.
And former Premier of the state, Fremantle resident Peter Dowding, wrote a letter recently.
I saw it and I was really impressed. Thank you, Peter Dowding.
Well, it's a very simple proposition. You just pick up the New South Wales legislation, you say, let's pass this in Western Australia. And, I mean, there's so many reasons we don't want these so-called common convenience stores. We know what's happened. They don't seem to add anything valuable.
No, they
at all
don't.
In a
and
community.
They're always empty. So how come?
And they're always empty. You say, what's going on in here? We can't say much more except to say change the law, encourage presently the police and the health authorities to smarten up their act. I see the police commissioner has appointed a new senior officer to stiffen the backs of the regulators, and let's hope those things happen. But it really is a blight on our community, isn't it?
It's a huge blight on our community, and people are worried. You know, it attracts a certain dynamic, and not all the people that you see on the street don't have shelter. So it's not your home or my home, but it is a home or a place of safety to sleep. And yet that attracts in our city centre a certain demographic that isn't helpful. And then plus that, you've got the positioning of these con stores. I mean, the Studio School is just... is just 20 metres up the road from a convenience store. And all of that is very enticing. You know, you've got crisps and power drinks.
Yes, you really can't understand why they exist, but it might just reflect our age and sensibilities, Ros.
It reflects the cynicism of a certain demographic who finds the vulnerability of human beings a resource.
Well, there are landlords, of course, who are leasing out their premises.
Yeah, and I think that's where the legislation has to really come down tough. When you live in a community, it's not appropriate just to sit back and criticise or sit back and say, well, I love Fremantle because of this, and the council should do this, and this isn't happening. The council only has a certain power. And if you want to live in the inner city and have it, I want the city to be the city I want to live in, and so I make the effort so that it's enhanced for other people. So I sometimes wonder what on earth I'm doing, but then there's a whole group of silent warriors like myself, dare I use a war terminology, it seems to be unavoidable these days, but there's a plethora of people out there who seriously care. They go for walks down past Coogee Beach and they take, friends of mine, they take gar bags, and it breaks their heart. Every week they come back with two full loads. But if they didn't, it would be even worse. And when I walk along the street and I'll pick up cartons, throw away food containers, etc., and put it in the bin, it encourages other people to do it. And sometimes the street community will say, don't touch that, Mrs., I'll fix it. And so that's leadership by example from my perspective of what I'm trying to do.
Well, I know you love the advice of Sarah Henderson from
one
of her books. Don't wait for a light to appear at the end of the tunnel. Stride down there and light the bloody thing yourself.
Exactly.
It's really great, and people do. That's why, you know, absolutely no doubt, City of Fremantle recognised you as their citizen of the year, you get stuck in. What else is on the horizon? What's down the end of the tunnel that needs lighting?
I myself and a small group of really splendid souls, good brains, huge integrity, we are gathering information to how we might have a pilot project that recognises the work that's already been done in the homeless and housing situation, taking advice from those groups and presenting to those groups another model, because one size does not fix all, as temporary solutions to guide people into the next level of accommodation. So there are 25%, I've worked it out myself, and my numbers may be wrong, and I hope I'm not crucified for saying this, but 25% of the people who live on the streets should not be there because they are unwell. That's a fact, and I see them go away and then come back. That is not okay. They should not be there. They should have wraparound services, and they should not be, as I saw, on the weekend. And then the next 25, we need to gather those up quickly, because before they fall through the cracks, so we can take them by the elbow and move on. I'm not a big one for give the people fish. I want to teach them how to fish so they can take hold of their own life and move on. So I'm not big on charity. I'm not big on sympathy. I'm big on empathy, and let me help you move on, and then goodbye. And then the third group are in dire trouble through addiction. And so we need to again do something. And the fourth group, dare I say, colloquially, taking the piss. And so that needs a bit of toughening up to say, no, that is unacceptable. I know that you have a place to go. Do not sit there and beg. And we've allowed that to happen. Under Brad's leadership as a mayor.
As Brad Pettit.
Brad Pettit, Dr. Brad Pettit. People were encouraged not to give directly to people who begged. And I think that was a very wise thing to do. So it is not helpful, because I know that for $2 you can go and get an alcohol-infused spritzig water from the liquor store. I mean, really, again, that's another way of making money from someone's misery. Or you can get a $4 bottle of wine, and sometimes I know that there would be an alcoholic there, and someone said, poor you, here's $10. And I'm thinking, no. You know, we as a community, and that's what I love about Fremantle, we give succour. There's a street doctor, street dentist, street nurse, street psych nurse, breakfast, lunch, dinner, showers, haircuts, and incredible food supplies from people with big heart and support. And so what we say to the street community, this, we can support you this way. But I'm now taking the advice of an old warhorse lawyer friend who worked for many years in legal aid. And he said to me, you know, Roz, I learnt that I was presenting constantly to the magistrates with the same people with the same problem. And finally, I said to my clients, I'm not going to waste my time keeping you out of jail for you to behave badly. So here's a notebook. This is what I'm asking you to do. And he listed a whole list. I want you to make a difference to your life 1% a day. He called it 1% a day. And that 1% could be that you have a shower every other day or every day. That could be that you acknowledge your drinking or addict problem, name your poison, we all have one, and you don't have your first drink until noon, that you will join AA or seek some form of change for you. And they did. Some did, some didn't.
It's fascinating. I love how you're working through all of these various topics. You've gone from beautifying the messy shop windows in Fremantle. You encourage people to discover beauty. You've taken that into Woodson's Arcade, and you've engaged with the school community and people like Dada. You're encouraging
shop and each owners. Other, which I'm loving. Each other, yes. Right? The matchmaker. They're all knowing each other.
And you're playing that networker role. We all know Ros D'Souza, and we all have to behave. We don't want to disappoint her. And then the street people, the homeless. You've engaged with that, and you're being very clear in your outlook. Others may differ with you on some points, but everyone agrees that steps are required. Fremantle wants to see those things happen. Mm. And thanks for sharing that with us, Ros. It's been really lovely talking to you today.
I always love talking to you, Michael. With you, I should say.
Our listeners are going to love talking about this. As they lie around at South Beach or down at Bathers Beach or around a swimming pool or somewhere, they say, "Do you hear what Ros D'Souza had to say to Michael Bradley?" And they'll write to us and tell us that they agree furiously, I'm sure.
Oh, I have a strong jawline. I can take it.
Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.